This is Jared Bush from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. There's plenty to get to today. Making news yesterday from Johnny Jolly to linebackers Jamari Lattimore and Rob Francois, safety Chris Banjo. News about all these guys coming up. We'll get to that in a moment. The first thing I wanted to do, bring you some of our coverage from the NFL Combine. I conducted so many interviews, I can't even count them. So I wanted to bring you some of this material and get to know some of these guys who are going to become rookies in the NFL. And I thought an appropriate one would be with Richard Rodgers, a tight end from California. And there's another guy in the Packers roster whose last name is Rodgers that comes from California. No, they're not related, but I thought it was a unique kind of connection regardless of whatever their relation or non-relation might be. But so I'm going to play this Combine interview with Richard Rodgers. You'll hear me asking questions. It's his media availability. There's other reporters asking questions here as well. But you'll hear him, just to give a little background, you'll hear him talk about his father, ask questions about his father. And this is really interesting as well. His father is a special teams coach on the Carolina Panthers. And his father was actually part of the play between California and Stanford, that crazy five lateral play where the band comes on the field on the kickoff return and Cal goes on to win the game. He was actually a part of that, so I suppose, you know, one of the biggest plays in college football history that happened on special teams. He now happens to be a special teams coach with the Carolina Panthers. Anyway, this is his son, Cal tight end Richard Rodgers. He declared for the NFL draft as an underclassman, so he came out after his junior year. But listen in here and hear what he has to say. I ask him some questions about the Packers, things like that you'll hear coming up. So here's Cal tight end Richard Rodgers. Still music. Yes. Here we go.
What are your thoughts on just the possibility of Carolina? What would that be like?
I think it would be an interesting situation. I'd probably be playing special teams for my dad the first year. So it would just be interesting. I don't know. I don't really know how to react to that. He's never coached me before. I've obviously taken advice from him several times over the years. And I think it would just be really fun and interesting.
Is that something that he's told you, though, that no matter where you're at, you're going to have to play special teams perhaps in the first year?
Yeah, he's let me know a couple times that most likely playing as a tight end first year, you're going to play special teams. So, yeah, he's let me know.
What kind of special teams player could you be?
I don't know. It depends. I've done pretty much every special teams in college, so it just depends what I'm going to do. I don't know.
A lot of teams want to be big athletic. Why are they so hard to find?
I'm not sure. I think a lot of people play basketball. I'm not really sure, I guess.
So what would separate the Julius Thomas and Cameron's from, you know, the basketball guys who don't make?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why it's so hard to find people like that. It's just, I guess we're rare. I don't know.
What led from the transition from tight end to playing slot last year?
It was a easy transition because I played receiver in high school, and I think the hardest thing was losing all the weight. It wasn't that hard, but it was probably the toughest thing because I had to lose 30 pounds. So I did that, and I was able to play inside receiver the whole season and with no problem.
Was that something you wanted to do or something that the coaches came to you and said, where we want you to be?
They came to me and told me that if I didn't get my weight down, I wouldn't play, so I had to do that, and that's what I did.
Can you become the most famous Rodgers to come out of Cal?
I don't know. That's tough.
Would you like to catch passes from him?
Oh yeah, it'd be great to catch passes from any quarterback.
Do you have basketball background now yourself?
I played basketball in high school, varsity all 4 years. So, yeah, I mean, I have a little bit of a basketball background. I like to play a lot.
Where is that going to help your tight end?
I think it just helps with athleticism and competing. Whenever you can compete, whenever you get the opportunity to compete, it's good to do that.
Are you comfortable lining up in the three-point stance and being able to come off the line and a linebacker?
Yeah, I haven't done a lot of it in this past year, but my first 2 years I was always in a three-point stance, or the majority of the time in a three-point stance. So I'm definitely comfortable with it.
And does having a father in the in football and growing up in football help you for situations like all of this and how to prepare to be an NFL player?
I don't know how much you can prepare for things like this, but having a dad that's been in the business and knows his way around is definitely helpful. He can give me little bits of advice and things like that, things that go on in the interviews because he's in there. So I think it's definitely helpful to have him around and giving me advice.
That is Cal tight end Richard Rogers talking at the NFL Combine, airing here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Obviously, the Packers have a need for a tight end. Well, I suppose I could preface that with saying, depending upon what happens in free agency, the Packers will have a need for a tight end. Both JerMichael Finley and Andrew Corliss are up for free agency this year. Kind of unknown what's going to happen with them. Mike McCarthy expressed optimism that JerMichael Finley would be cleared from his spinal fusion surgery. And I don't really know. I'm skeptical because of what's happened in the past with guys who've had high neck fusion surgeries, like Nick Collins. I think Terrence Murphy a couple years ago, before him, both had spinal fusion surgeries higher up on the neck, which is, of course, more risky for a return. So I'm skeptical, but who knows? Packers could be looking for a tight end. I mean, Richard Rogers is more of a mid-round guy. I mean, you're talking about some of the top-round guys being Eric Ebron in North Carolina, Jason Morrow of Texas Tech, guys like that, Austin Safarian Jenkins of Washington. Those are your first-round type of guys. Maybe Jenkins, some people argue he's more of a second-rounder. Anyway. So that's what you're looking at, and who knows, maybe we'll have two guys from Cal whose last name are Rogers on the Packers roster this upcoming season. But that's his thoughts about playing for his father, playing on special teams, all sorts of topics he covered, and glad to bring that to you here at Railbird Central. Now, let's talk about some of these guys who were making headlines yesterday on the roster of the Green Bay Packers, at least temporarily. Some of these guys we're going to be talking about are going to be free agents here as well. So they're only members of the Packers potentially for the next 2 weeks or so. But speaking of spinal fusion surgery, I think one of the biggest stories to come out yesterday was news on Packers defensive lineman Johnny Jolly. And, of course, he suffered a rather serious injury that kind of flew under the radar a little bit because it was so late in the season, for one, and he played through it kind of for a while, for two. But yeah, Johnny Jolly also suffering kind of a neck injury here. He had spinal fusion surgery as well, and he had the same thing that happened to Packers safety Sean Richardson. I think the fusion was between the C5 and C6 discs in the neck, a little bit lower down. So his return is probably more likely and less risky than a guy like Nick Collins, say, than JerMichael Finley, say. So when you look at those type of things, you could see Johnny Jolly coming back. And the news is that several reporters on the Packers beat, Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com, Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talked to Jolly's agent, Jack Bechta, and the agent, which, I mean, maybe this shouldn't surprise us coming from the agent, but the agent expects Jolly to be cleared to return, and he's actually being cleared for light workouts right about now. So he's kind of, you know, it's not now that the surgery's in the rearview mirror, he's able to lift weights, maybe not go full out yet, but he's starting to lift weights now, things like that. And of course, the biggest thing would be cleared for return. Now, what's complicating matters is that Johnny Jolly is a free agent coming up, and what are the Packers going to do with him? You know, I think that, you know, based upon, you know, B.J. Raji's a free agent, Ryan Pickett is a free agent, and I don't think both those guys are going to come back. I could be wrong, but, you know, I would say the odds of them both coming back are rather slim. But it could happen regardless. If one of them leaves, if both of them leaves, all of a sudden the Packers, they've lost some pretty hefty guys on the defensive line, and you would think that, you know, Johnny Jolly might be a candidate to come back then, probably a guy who might command a little bit less money. In fact, I mean, with this injury now, Johnny Jolly is not going to find much traction on the free agent market from any team because of the risk involved here. Now, certainly, might teams be interested in him at a minimal NFL salary? Yeah, they probably would. And I think the Packers would as well. But, I mean, if Johnny Jolly, if all he's going to get is interest for a minimum salary from every team, you know, he's going to come back to the place he's been, where he knows the system that, you know, helped him, of course, get back into the NFL. You know the story by now. We've talked about it hundreds of times on this show about Johnny Jolly coming back from, you know, a stint in prison, being suspended by the NFL for 3 years, you know, being having a problem with drugs. You know, I'm not going to get into that. We've been into it so many times. But it does play into his background a little bit. But so, what do the Packers do with a guy like Johnny Jolly? I think they're going to, first of all, wait. Don't expect him to sign with the Packers or anywhere for quite a while. In fact, could be as long as after the NFL draft. That way they'll have time for free agency to play out, for the draft to play out. And, of course, you know, if all of a sudden the Packers bring back B.J. Raji or Ryan Pickett, and then they draft a defensive lineman or two, then the definitely, you know, it helps the Packers in that their case is made is, okay, we got some depth. We don't really need to pay you all that much. So, I mean, that's one reason I think they wait as well. Be like, oh, we don't really need you. So if we do sign you, you're going to have to accept an NFL a minimum NFL salary. I think, you know, Johnny Jolly is going to have to be resigned to the fact that he's going to, whatever he's going to sign for is not going to be much. I do think he'll be cleared like the Packers cleared Sean Richardson. But now here's the caveat there. You remember, exact same injury almost with Sean Richardson. But remember, how long did it take Sean Richardson to come back from that injury? The Packers placed him on the PUP list. He didn't even practice until about mid-season this past year. Now he wasn't a free agent. Assuming the Packers signed Johnny Jolly, it could very much be the same type of situation where he's put on the PUP list and Johnny Jolly doesn't even practice until halfway through the season, you know, comes back around week 8 or so. That is a very realistic scenario here. So don't expect Johnny Jolly to play a big role in 2014. I mean, that just, the odds of that happening are probably rather slim. I could very much see the Packers signing him. I could see them clearing him eventually. It just might take a while. He might start off the year on the PUP list. You know, as the this is more of a talk during training camp. There's a difference between the preseason pup and the regular season pup. You know, if he comes off the pup list in the preseason, he's eligible to start, you know, the regular season then. But if he starts the regular season on the pup list, then he's out till midseason. So kind of a lot still to play out there and a lot of unknowns here. So I'm just saying, you know, pump the brakes on Johnny Jolly. I can see them signing. I can see him playing, but this is going to be a very, very slow process here with him. So kind of be prepared for that as free agency wraps up in 2 weeks here. And after that, you know, when training camp gets started in late July, just don't expect Johnny Jolly to play a big part of it to begin with. May eventually play along the line late in the year. And who knows, that could be, he could very much, you know, provide a boost for the Packers at midseason. You just never know when injuries happen and all of a sudden, you know, they lose a guy, but he steps in and fills the void. That would be a great thing. So a lot to take place here. Moving on though, other guys we got to talk about here. Jamari Lattimore. News coming from Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette, speaking to Jamari Lattimore's agent, saying the odds of the Packers placing a restricted free agent tender on Lattimore look slim and none. That was the quote, quote, slim and none, end quote. I think that came from the agent. Jamari Lattimore, restricted free agent. There's different levels of tenders they could place on him. You can place a first-round tender, a second-round tender, and those are pretty much, you know, very unrealistic. You know, if he signed somewhere else, the Packers would get compensation in terms of a first-rounder or a second-rounder. Not going to happen with him. You could place the original round tender. And with Jamari Lattimore being undrafted, that's basically that there's no compensation, but it would give the Packers the right to match any offer he does receive. And that's what I think the Packers should do with him, because the original round tender is somewhere right around $1.4 million for 1 year. And I think that is actually, it's probably worth more than Jamari Lattimore is, but for the sake of keeping him around, for the sake of him not getting an offer from another team or being able to match an offer, I think it is worth it to give Jamari Lattimore the tender. So I was a little bit disappointed to hear that they wouldn't be going that route. And it's very much the same approach they took with a pair of guys last year, both linebacker Rob Francois and tight end Tom Crabtree. Now you saw it worked out last year with Rob Francois. They didn't offer him a tender, but they did end up signing him as a free agent for a lesser amount. And, you know, Rob Francois didn't get a whole lot of attention on the free agent market. So, no big deal. With Tom Crabtree, they did the same thing. They didn't give him the tender. They didn't think he was worth $1.4 million. So they didn't close the door on re-signing Tom Crabtree. They just weren't going to pay him that much money. Well, Tom Crabtree goes and gets a 2-year contract from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so he gets a little more security from the Bucs, and that's where he signs with. I don't want to see that situation play out with Jamari Lattimore, where all of a sudden he gets a 2-year contract from somebody and he's gone. I mean, I would put the tender on him. It's probably slightly more than he deserves, but it's also a number that comes off the salary cap in 1 year. You know, so I think Jamari Lattimore brings a lot to the Packers special teams. I think he brings a lot to the locker room. You hear about how he's a good locker room presence, and I think that's great for being such a young guy. He seems like a really good leader on the team for being so young. He seems to command respect for only just finishing his third year in the NFL. And I liked what he did last year when pressed into action at linebacker as well. He played at a level at least on par with Brad Jones, maybe a little bit raw. I admit that. But there were things Brad Jones did wrong as well. I think, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of difference between them. If I had my choice, heck, I'd take Jamari Lattimore at $1.4 million as opposed to Brad Jones at 2.5 or whatever he's making this past year. So I was disappointed to hear that they're not going to place the tender on him. I think the Packers should change their mind about that. I don't expect them to listen to me. But now you risk losing him. Now you risk losing him. And I don't think that would be a good thing for this Packers team. I don't expect Jamari Lattimore to be a Pro Bowl type performer, but I do think he can help the team as a backup and a special teams guy. So that's my stance there with Jamari Lattimore. I may have to actually write a column about that at some point here and flesh that out a little bit more in writing. Maybe perhaps look forward to that if I can carve out some time to do that. Speaking of Rob Francois, who we talked about as being a free agent last year, Pete Doherty here, all sorts of news from Pete Doherty. He talked to Francois' agent, who I think is the exact, him and Lattimore are represented by the same agent, so he basically killed two birds with one stone. Rob Francois is coming off an Achilles injury, a torn Achilles this past season that landed him on injured reserve, didn't finish the season with the Packers. And of course, you know, complicating matters here, similar to Johnny Jolly, is that Francois is going to be a free agent. And from what it sounds like, Francois is still recovering from this injury, although he's getting better all the time. But the agent doesn't expect him to receive any offers from teams until April or maybe after the draft. And in that case, what they can do for Rob Francois is see what teams have a need at inside linebacker after the draft. If there's a team that didn't draft anybody at that position, maybe they're more willing to sign him or something like that. So, you know, Rob Francois here, a guy a lot like Jamari Lattimore, a special teams contributor, a guy who's not going to provide you tons of production as a defensive player, but maybe a solid backup, things like that. I think the Packers take a wait-and-see approach with him as well, seeing their need after the draft. I mean, if the Packers go out and draft two inside linebackers, then they're probably not bringing Rob Francois back at all. But who knows? You know, they draft one or they draft none. Who knows how it'll all play out? Then all of a sudden, yeah, they might be willing to bring him back depending upon how he's recovered from his Achilles. But they're not going to even take a look at him. They probably won't even bring him in for a physical until after the draft in May. So, again here, I mean, it's just expect things to play out very slowly here with a number of guys. There's going to be no urgency to sign Rob Francois, no urgency to sign Johnny Jolly, because nobody in the NFL is going to be urgent, you know, display an urgency to sign him. So things will happen very slowly at a snail's pace with these guys. And finally, probably one last bit of news here. The Packers re-signing Chris Banjo an exclusive rights tender. Now, being only completing his first year in the NFL, Banjo was classified as an exclusive rights free agent. He cannot even negotiate with any other teams. Either the Packers give him a tender, which is not all that much. It's like $500,000. I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but it's like $500,000, which is darn near the NFL minimum for a player. And in the, you know, $500,000 would be winning the lottery to me or you, but in terms of the NFL, it's about as low a digit as it gets for a 1 year salary. And so the Packers either give him a tender or he can sign with whoever he wants with. So the Packers, you know, apparently, as Banjo tweeted out on his birthday, signed his exclusive rights free agent tender. So he'll be back under a 1 year deal this upcoming season. And I think that's fine. I mean, there's such little risk in this involved that it's great. I thought he was actually, Chris Banjo was a good addition to the Packers special teams, like Jamari Lattimore. I think those guys bring a lot there. Chris Banjo actually finished second on the team in special teams tackles this past year. I think he displayed a very good toughness, and I think he can fill that role with them again. Now, he's not going to be the savior at safety. You know, he was with the Packers this past season, and he played some safety and, you know, didn't really make much of an impact when he did play at all in 2013. You know, he did make a little bit of impact during training camp, during the preseason. But you also have to keep in mind he was playing with the third stringers and you know, making a small impact against third stringers. I don't think there's a, you know, much to say about that. I mean, it's certainly making plays is better than not making plays. But, you know, for Chris Banjo, good special teams guy. Don't expect him to play a big role on defense. Now, it's fine if he's like the fourth or the fifth safety on the roster. That's great. As long as you can be a special teams guy, that's fantastic. So, you know, for $500,000 for 1 year, I mean, and he becomes a free agent again after next offseason, but still a exclusive rights free agent. So, Chris Banjo is basically, the Packers hold his rights for a while. As long as he keeps proving himself, they can keep bringing him back for another year, and then he becomes a restricted free agent after his third season in the NFL. But, you know, that's you know, 2 years in the future here. We'll see how things play out, but good for him for signing a contract, and I'd certainly love to see Chris Banjo back. Hopefully he improves. Hopefully he takes another step in his development. Who knows? I mean, he's got that small squattiness to him. You know, he's only like 5'10", but he really seemed aggressive. Like, he can put a nice hit on a guy. Didn't really show a whole lot of ball skills, but hey, he's young yet. Just finished his first year in the NFL. I'm sure he learned a lot in his first season, and there's some room for some growth there. So maybe he does become a better player. And like I say, it, you know, the better special teams player he becomes, that's where his true value is to the team. And if he can be a guy, I think the interview in the Press Gazette with Banjo's agent says, like, he wants to be the best special teams player in the NFL. Hey, I'm all about that. If you can be the Pro Bowl representative for special teams, that would be, fantastic. That would be the best case scenario the Packers could get out of Chris Banjo, and I'm all about that. Kind of their special teams ace right now, Jarrett Bush, he's getting a little bit long in the tooth. He's getting up there in age, still played well this past season, but Jarrett Bush isn't going to be the special teams ace in Green Bay for much longer. So could use some help there from a guy like Banjo. So that kind of sums up all the Packers news from the past 24 hours or so. They had an assistant trainer won the NFC's Assistant Trainer of the Year award, which I know will raise eyebrows for some people. Brian Flea Engel, his nickname Flea, congratulations to him. I know it'll raise eyebrows from some wondering about why Packers trainers are being honored when there's so many injuries on the team. It's, you know, it's tough for me to criticize. I brought it up in our article at Cheesehead TV, but it's tough for me to personally criticize when I don't see what goes on behind door, you know, closed doors, and, you know, I don't see the guy at work, so it's hard for me to
criticize him. So, without knowing, I say congratulations, and hopefully it's just a fluke that the Packers suffer all these injuries, and maybe it's time for just things to turn around in 2014. Maybe it's just cyclical, and now the Packers are one of the healthiest teams in the NFL. You can always hope, right? I don't know for how much longer they can continue being one of the most injured teams in the NFL, but that'll do it here on a Friday edition of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Thank you everybody so much for joining us here as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So enjoy the weekend. We'll be back again on Monday. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.